morning, Gloss. We had a heated discussion this morning. I had to apologize to Kim Smith. She was all flustered because I needed to apologize for her because we had a difference of opinion. That's all it was, a difference of opinion. But that's good that we had a conversation and people can, agree to disagree, because we definitely agree to disagree on this issue. I have Alicia Cox DeWolf here.
Yep.
Rare parents. We had Craig Kimberly, a rare parents, on Friday. Now we have you, which is always nice. Kim Smith here, and Toby's here.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Good morning, Gloucester.
There you go. We have a bunch of topics. I asked our contributors that weren't going to be here to send in submissions. Donna wanted to say thank you to the DPW people for working so hard and doing a good job clearing things up. Felicia said that she had a conversation with Mayor Romeo Tekken, that's what we call her now, is that there is no St. Joseph's Novena trolley this year due to snow and safety issues. Mm-hmm. I was at Felicia's house yesterday, and she is already on St. It's a month away.
I know. It's going to come up so quick.
She's on psycho.
It's like a couple of weeks,
St. Joseph's mode. Mm-hmm. Like, we went out and picked up some candelabras from the Quattro family.
She's making the altar.
She's collecting the stuff for the to make the altar. She's already got all these huge jars. She's making limoncello and arancino, the orange and chino.
And we're going to be doing pasta.
And
we're making the pasta.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, I feel bad for my brother. St. Barry is already going to be dealing with St. Barry things, because it's already, she's already started.
Yeah,
that's going to be a month long of that.
Intense tradition.
Yeah. So there's that. You had a topic last night. Oh, Toby wanted to bring up the how many people know that Walgreens in downtown Gloucester is open 24/7?
Right. And who shops at 3 in the morning? Who uses it? I mean,
I think fishermen. I use it on my way to work every once in a while when I need a certain type of item.
They have like,
because they have just about everything.
Right.
Well, not just food items. If we need, coming down here and I need to print out some reports, I can get like one of those stacks of printing paper there. You know, and they're open that early in the morning, for example.
I don't know how I missed it. I was literally in their parking lot. I just shopped in there. I got back in my car and I looked up at the sign and it said, open 24 hours.
I really need to know how many people, because you have to be probably the only person in the city that doesn't know that.
No, Kim said that she didn't realize until a month ago.
No, I didn't realize until a couple months ago, even a month ago.
It's been like going on for like years.
I heard that from you, but I couldn't believe it that I was unaware
Did you know they're open literally Christmas Day, like 24/7. Like,
yeah.
So I can't even tell you. I mean, it's amazing. Like, I go in there at 5 in the morning because I wake up at 5:30, or in the middle of the night if the kids get sick or something, I can literally just go and grab, like, if something happened in the middle. Right, exactly.
They also have, like much like CVS has in North Beverly, the Minute Clinic. You can get your flu shots there, mm-hmm. and you can get if you have a bad, you can't get to your primary care physician, you need to get checked for a throat.
Now, do they have that one in the Walgreens in Gloucester? The one that you can check ear infection, or just the flu shot thing?
I'm fairly certain that they do they do that too. Ooh, I don't know.
I guess I'm gonna. I would check on that because I would like to know. Because I did go to Beverly because for that reason.
I think it's great. I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing.
No, I know.
I can't believe I wasn't aware.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, though, sometimes hanging out there, there's some sketchy cats. You got to get a close parking spot and run in. Some sketchy cats hanging out there. So there's that. Kudos to the Gloucester Police Department for catching the person so quickly who shot the Latitude bouncer in the leg. Toby, what were the details?
I don't know all the details, but it's my understanding that the bouncer asked somebody in their 50s, in their Latitude, that said, "You're out of here, buddy," and then...
Oh, wait, so they were already in? They weren't denied access?
No, I think they were already in.
Okay, so he kicked them out.
Kicked them out, or told them, "You're out of here," and the guy came back and shot him.
Yeah.
That is just.
And how
crazy.
And how long before the police got him?
Short order. They knew they had the description of the vehicle, and
it was a Mercedes, right?
And, yeah, and a silver Mercedes, and they had a partial plate. And I'm only reading that. I'm only know that from reading the press release that.
Oh, that was
Kevin
the blog.
Said, yeah.
And where where did they pick him up? Where did they pick up?
Well, the fellow was from Beverly. I forget exactly where they grabbed him.
But it was in relatively
short.
It was very quick.
Yeah,
it was
awesome.
Makes you feel pretty solid about the quality of police work we have.
I love the new police chief, of the way he is so aware social media wise. Like, we get press releases from him on the storms. We get them, on things like this. They're doing a really good job, because I feel like when they're willing to reach out like that, I think the public gains respect, because they feel like they're in on it with this guy. He's not like a guy in an ivory tower, just pointing his finger down on the minions. Like, he actually engages with the community, which I think is awesome.
He's passionate about his job, and that's the type of person that you want, in any position.
That was, I think, one of Carolyn Kirk's strengths, was finding people. She didn't, and I don't think you definitely always have to find someone from outside of your community to work, in these kind of jobs. But I feel like she always opened it up to, okay, let's look at the entire universe. Who is the best person for this job? We're not just going to look for who in this city is best for this job.
He also did a great job in teaming up with an existing lieutenant who's now the assistant chief, John McCarthy, to work with him to help organize all this and create all this communication.
Oh, John McCarthy. He's behind the scenes then?
He's behind the scenes. He's literally the number two guy. I think they call him the deputy chief or whatever his position. But if it wasn't for John, Len Campanella couldn't be doing what he's doing. It's a teamwork.
I also, going back to Mayor Romeo Thekin, I heard something really awesome about her, that every 4 o'clock that she has open her office, the mayor's office, she has open house, and for I don't know if it's city employees or the city councils or whatever, but they can come in there and they have like Italian pastries every day at 4 o'clock.
That's amazing.
And they're just talk about things that are happening or whatever, and I think that is a huge strength. I think Safathi is a bridge builder, and so kudos for her management style on that.
That's every day.
Working days.
A lot of pastry.
She's got some connections in the pastry front. I think she's good friends with the people down at Cafe Sicilia, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't want? If you want to, the way to people's heart, honestly, food. Like, you could, not really like a person, but, you feed, someone could maybe have ambivalent about you, but you feed them, all of a sudden, you're the greatest guy.
Well, they do say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach.
There you go. Man. No, she's no dumb.
I honestly think that's how I got my publishing deal, because my publisher was from Boston, and he loved the area. He would come up occasionally to sell books, and when he was talking to me about the book, I just said, come on over, I'll make you a beautiful New England lunch. And I did. I made him clam chowder, and I'd actually gotten lobsters from Joe, and
nice.
Apple pie, and that's how I think I got my publishing deal.
Did you make blueberry pancakes?
No, I made apple pie though.
So
blueberry pancakes. Okay, well, I'm not bringing those again.
No.
I like the blueberry chocolate.
You did?
I did.
You're a fan?
Oh, yes.
Alicia, with your breakfast restaurant background.
Yes, I did. Why didn't I think of blueberry chocolate?
Well, my son didn't like them.
I love them.
He was like, Mom.
Super K makes her smoothie. She puts blueberry, it's a chocolate kind of a protein mix, and she uses blueberries, and I'm not a fan of them. I always tell her, leave the blueberries out for me.
Oh, no, I love blueberries.
Yeah. It's one of the few superfoods, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I eat
love them.
Antioxidants?
All of that.
Yeah.
Probiotic? Ticks off all the...
In the season, I eat at least half a box a day.
They're addicting. So Chris keeps them in the freezer.
Oh.
Yes, and when I was really sick and my throat was just not getting any relief, I was like, all right, I tried anything and everything, and I took some of these blueberries, and
the frozen ones,
and they were so awesome.
Oh,
And they just...
You do chew them or you just suck on them?
Yeah, no, you chew them. And they become like, because, you know...
They're just frozen.
They're frozen. Almost like a shirt. It's almost like, yeah, it's almost like a...
Like a popsicle.
Exactly, consistency. Oh, yeah, oh, it's awesome.
So here's the here's what I'd like to talk about. So Kim brought the pancakes down and she had them wrapped in the tinfoil. And to me, it was just a little... It was kind of like the... To me, like when you have French fries and you put them in the styrofoam, they get soggy. It just was, for me, it was not my thing. So I said it to her. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to eat them. And you got a little bit like, well, I'm not bringing these down anymore. So the question I guess I have is, what's the proper way to decline some food if you're like, you kind of like look at it
without insulting the
I don't want to insult her, but I was just like I was not interested in the blueberry because I'm not a blueberry person on top of it how should I have handled that? What would have been the right way to handle that?
You could just say I'm full. I just ate.
Just lie.
I just ate.
Just lie.
Or you just go, no.
Or
thank
maybe
you.
I should have
just
said.
And then it just passes.
Right. Maybe I just, because I was making pancakes for Alex and I thought, oh, I'll bring some.
It was
down.
The gesture was absolutely lovely. And the bacon was amazing.
Well, next time I'll just.
I know. I didn't get any bacon, by the way.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Oh, thank
I would have loved some.
Yeah,
I pounded on the bacon.
That's
bacon's
fine.
Fantastic.
It's a good. I like.
You
that
could
brand.
Have definitely. I would have definitely dipped the bacon in this amazing maple syrup with chocolate.
Where did you get the maple? Was it what kind of maple
it's,
syrup?
You know,
was
that
was
a nice like Spring Grove tree or whatever.
It was so good.
Yummers.
Good maple syrup. Good bacon.
Yeah.
How'd you cook the bacon?
The bacon is Stop and Shop's Nature's Promise brand, and I like it because it's a little thicker cut.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it.
But how did you cook it? What kind of pan did you use?
I have this nice, beautiful, black, heavy
cast iron. Is it cast iron?
Cast iron.
Oh, I love
it. That's what I'm saying. That's what I was getting at right there.
I don't own anything cast iron.
Oh, I love
you got
to
get one.
It's like $30.
I know. If I could, I don't even know. Where do I go? Like,
they have them on sale right now at Stop and Shop.
I can get you whatever you want at the right price.
Toby's got the restaurant depot.
I just want a cast iron.
You need to get one.
They're made in America, and they're like $30. They're hand
Lodge is the major.
Where do
place.
I get one? I got.
Toby will get
it
for you. Toby will pick
whatever
it up for you. He'll just it'll be cheaper than you can get around.
Or you can get them online, but I can get you at the restaurant supply house, whatever you want.
Awesome.
Get them.
Isn't it weird I don't own it?
It is very strange. And I'm going to tell you, once you start making bacon on it.
I saw a recipe this morning I wanted to do, and they said, oh, let's do it cast iron. It's a melted fontina. What? And I was like, and it had it in a cast iron. I was like, that's what I need.
Well, for all the people, excuse me. So what I was about to say was that I have friends. I mean, this time of the year, with all the snow we've gotten, they can't get to their outdoor grill. You know, because it's just buried.
I know, I'm scared mine's ruined.
Right. And so I've had at least two friends of mine tell me that what they're doing to achieve some of those same flavors that they would normally get by cooking on the grill, they have to cook in a cast iron skillet. It's the only way to achieve a similar...
Yeah, because you can start a steak in the oven with a cast iron, and then you can finish it off on top of the stove, right. And then just use all the...
Actually, awesome. You could do it the reverse way. You could start it off on top and then put it in the oven.
Right. True. But the point being is that cast iron helps you achieve some of the similar qualities in the finished product.
I'm going to tell you right now, on my way home tonight, I'm going to pick up some killer steaks. I'm going to cook steaks in the... I'm going to get some ribeyes, and I'm going to cook them on the cast iron grill. That's been seasoned with bacon fat because we cooked bacon a couple of days ago.
Nice.
Nice.
It's going to be all about it. So Debbie just came here. Why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi, I'm Debbie Clement. Brought my husband with me today, Philip.
I'm Philip.
And Philip, do you go by Clement, or are you guys one of these new age couples where the wife didn't take the last name?
I know there was a big debate about that before we got married. So Debbie didn't want to take my name.
There you go.
And so I said, that's fine. You don't have to take my name. You can go by Debbie Lloyd. That's absolutely fine. So you won't be expecting me to wear a wedding ring then, right? And so this is the
boom, chocolata! I love it.
Consequently, I have a ring and Debbie has my name.
There you go. See? That's how you handle your business. That is how you handle your business. I like this guy. Good work. Good work. You're here because you came by to pick up your book. You won Clark Snow's book, Waltzing with Lady Luck. Yeah. You excited to read it?
Very excited, yeah. So we do a lot of sailing at home and we love Gloucester. And
where's home?
Back in the UK in Southampton.
So what brings you to here this time of year?
Oh, Yes.
Yeah, everyone did say, so this was a really stupid time of year to come to New England. What made you come? So we came for work, but work was part of the whole adventure. So we're big sailors, we love adventure, we love travelling and seeing new places, meeting new people. And when I first started coming to the Boston area, I just loved it. I came here for work, but I just found the people just incredible, just real, honest, proper people.
You talk about New England people, or you talk about Gloucester people?
I think, well, we discovered Gloucester through coming to New England, and we've met some amazing friends, and made some amazing friends in such a short space of time. So it's all about adventure.
Yeah.
And you sail on Southampton water?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. We have to dodge the cruise ships, though, because Southampton is cruise ship central in the UK.
I'm familiar with it many years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well, they restored the J-class yacht Endeavour,
yes.
And that's where she was.
Yeah. Well, we were
so Elizabeth Meyer found the hull of Endeavour there.
Wow. Yeah. We were out with them last year.
Yeah. That's exciting. Very exciting.
Coincidence.
And we've got Ben Ainsley, who's doing the America's Cup Challenge in Portsmouth,
yes, right,
just up the road, so that's really exciting.
What do you mean? They're going to have... Oh, it's going to be based out of England next year?
No, but somebody that's heading up one of the challenges is a great sailor.
Oh, and they're going to be based out of that?
Yeah.
So it's not just America and Australia? There's actually English is involved in
this?
No,
actually, there are a lot of different teams, but they're going to do it in Bermuda now.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Much better for the spectators.
Well, that's part of the marketing.
Yeah, well, it's America's Cup. To get to the UK is pretty tough for the America's Cup people, right? I mean, not to the UK, to Australia.
The America's Cup was named after a yacht, the America. Uh-huh. It's not because it has anything to do with America.
Yeah,
it has to do because a schooner yacht, America, won what was then known as the 100 Guineas Cup. All right, and so it was renamed the America's Cup. And yeah, it's for the elite. We know what it is. It's not for the...
When was the last time it was relevant on television? Was it Dennis O'Connor, or was it more recent?
Not O'Connor. Dennis Connor. Connor for years was...
That's when I remember watching it and being like interested in it. But I don't remember like the coverage on television as much as it used to be.
It's basically a match race. Theoretically, two boats of equal capability. And then they assemble a team, and who can out-strategize...
isn't the guy from Oracle involved in that? Dennis,
yeah.
He's big time, right?
Larry Ellison,
right.
Yeah.
Yes, that must be wild. So have you guys done transatlantic at all?
No, we did the Bay of Biscay last year, which was terrifying.
So the UK, so we sail from Plymouth in the UK down to Portugal, which goes across the Bay of Biscay, which is obviously one of these kind of weird places.
And how large boat? What design?
A Jano Sun Odyssey 45.
45-foot Chinook. Okay.
Yeah. It was really scary. So we have...
So that's what you're talking about? You're passing the cruise ships because they're coming out of there all the time?
What makes it scary? Oh, it was just the size of the waves and 47 knot winds, and that's probably nothing to all your fishermen around here, but for us...
Oh, it would be substantial to anyone.
We had a dog on board as well. That was quite funny.
Wow.
Watching the dog kind of slide to the back of the boat as we go over the top of these waves.
So how did you find Good Morning Gloucester, the blog and the podcast? Because you subscribed to the podcast. That's how you won the book.
Yeah. Well, we met some fellow English people on Wingersheet Beach, and they've become really good friends, and he recommended it. So.
Oh, there you go.
That's so interesting.
And you never know. There's so many connections. So do you keep track with it when you're overseas, when you're back in the UK?
We'll do it because we're always online. But yeah, we're going back in a couple of weeks just for a flying visit, and then we're back here again.
Back here for another 6 months or so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good for you. Where do you stay? Do you stay aboard the boat?
Or summer.
Where do you stay when you're here?
We're in Manchester by the Sea at the moment.
We're in a winter rental, aren't we?
Yeah.
Under about a meter of snow, which...
Have you figured out what you're going to do for the summer? Do you have a spot?
No, not yet.
We're hunting for a spot. So anyone listening in that knows where two very proper English people can spend the summer...
Good luck.
And let us know.
Yeah.
You would want to be in any town, Gloucester, Manchester?
Yeah. We like Gloucester, don't we? Manchester's beautiful as well.
What's your favorite restaurant? Do you go to any particular restaurant around here?
We go to 7 Central in Manchester.
In Manchester.
We're always
cool.
In the brewery. Well, we like the brewery.
I've discovered Dead Eye Double. It's an amazing beer. I love
it. Yeah, the double IPA that they have.
Yes.
Is that one of the ones they serve in the 10 ounce glass
yeah.
as opposed to the 16 ounce glass?
Yeah. Because it's the average alcohol, the alcohol is much higher.
It's awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Love it.
Double IPA.
Yeah. Double IPA.
I had the pumpkin stout the other day.
Right.
I can only have two of those beers and feel like I'm legit to drive. And I cut myself off at two of their beers. And that's not even one of the high alcohol content
right.
ones.
I mean, people who are used to drinking Budweiser or even Guinness, it's like 4.5 alcohol.
Oh, is it really double? So it's almost double.
It is in this case of the double IPA that
it's
they
more
have,
than double.
It's more than double.
Okay, so that
so,
makes sense then.
So it's like 9% alcohol?
Yeah.
Wow.
So the point is that if you have 10 ounces of that, it's like having 20 ounces of Budweiser.
Right.
And
wow.
if you were talking about...
In a short period of time, because you're
right.
drinking it like
right.
that.
Right.
So in a lot of their beers, and they mention that on their beer menu. So if you need to, be alerted as to, if you're sensitive to that sort of thing...
I recognize I will only have two of those 16 ounce beers.
That's really good.
And I will not go to the third one if I know I'm gonna get in a car.
They're not alone in doing this. There are a lot of these craft brewers that adjust the amount of alcohol. It's part of creating the finished product.
A couple of the things I like at the brewery, I like for food, I like their haddock sandwich. Really good.
I love their fish taco.
The fish taco, and I like the wings there. They make them nice and crispy.
Yeah, they love. Yeah, Chris and Tyler go for the wings.
Okay.
They love the wings.
I love their calamari there. I think they have great. And they,
but
they have
it's
great
good that
fried
you've been exploring
and
found
squid. As well.
A place like that that we also happen to like.
It's authentic, though, isn't it? I think that's. Yeah.
I would say. I mean, it really is authentic. Those guys started up, and it was basically almost like a garage space, the previous space down the fort, and then they expanded to that really premier location that they're at now.
And their kitchen's immaculate.
Oh,
walk by their kitchen, and
it's
immaculate. It's
wide open.
All times.
I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, just walk by it. I mean, it's open, and you could. I mean, really, they've done a really good job.
As a testament to them. I don't do any business with them at all, but in the summertime when people say, where should we go eat outside or something like that, and I look at the people, like a lot of time I say you should go there because you're looking at the working waterfront right there, and you can get a haddock sandwich there, and it's so you're getting local fish, you're getting the experience, you're out on the deck, and it's really
everything.
A crafted,
right.
locally crafted beer.
Yeah, right.
It's kind of, it ticks off a lot of the boxes for a unique Gloucester experience.
And also the tables, the way the tables are set up, and
communal.
You can just go in with 10, 15 people really at any given time and just, sit together and...
If most towns that you would want to actually live in, like the really cool towns, have a brewery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it's almost like Portsmouth, what I mean? Like all these
more
cool towns.
More common nowadays, for sure.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So there's... Kudos to Jeremy and his crew down there. We want to talk about the you discovered a new coffee that you like.
Yeah, the Keurig. We just got a Keurig. I know we're probably a little bit behind the times, but Starbucks came out with their K-Cups, and it's cinnamon dolce. So if you get a cinnamon dolce latte at Starbucks, it came out in K-Cups, and it's so good.
You like it?
I love it, because I love cinnamon. I love cinnamon coffee, and I love flavored coffee. The only flavored coffee I like is New England coffee. So, but, the Keurig thing, I think it's all right, but it's not really for me.
Yeah.
I like the brewed and...
Except for cinnamon dolce.
Yeah, I love it.
I like the number one thing the Keurig has going for it is the ease of use and cleanup. But after that, I still have not found one K-Cup that has blown me away. They say, oh,
you're familiar with this product?
That was awesome.
I don't even know what a K-Cup is.
The Keurig is they're little pods. And they're pre-filled with certain coffee flavors. And then you pull this down.
You put it into the machine. Push the button, put the cup underneath, and it brews one cup.
Yeah, and you throw away the pod, there's really no cleanup at all, and you have a hot
it's
cup
a convenience
of
item.
Yeah.
With a Nespresso, can you make cappuccino?
Nespresso is different than a Keurig. Keurig makes a cup of coffee. Oh. Nespresso is actually an espresso. They're giving you like a shot.
So but this is a convenience. It brews one cup.
You could make a cappuccino with an espresso machine. There's actually most of them
have Nespresso. The Nespresso ones. They're like this big.
There are machines where half of it is espresso, and then what you do, and then they do the cappuccino. They have the heated milk in it.
Are you talking about the Nespresso machines?
Because
it's a brand. That's a brand.
Yeah, I know. I don't know the brand name.
Liv and Matt have a Nespresso because Matt really loves it, and he loves that.
I saw in a home, a really wealthy person's house, they had a Nespresso. It built into the cabinetry, and it like
that.
The water was piped into it behind, like you never had to like refill it up or anything like that.
Wow.
And I had a theory for Keurig. If the designers are listening, because I think there's so many people that use it now, like it's become a thing now, all over the country. I think that they should come out with like a platinum version where it comes with a fitting where like your plumber can pipe it so that you never have to fill it, because part of the pain in the ass is like you have to refill the reservoir, but like make it like totally premium parts and everything. Charge $850 for it with the so
I thought they have Keurigs that you can put into maybe like the and commercial ones they do
ones?
Yeah.
Oh,
they
really?
Have commercial ones. That's what they have in the offices.
That are piped in so you don't have to fill it up with water.
Yep, there's connected. And a lot of the offices, it's next to, you know how, like the water.
Harbor Cove Dental has one of those commercial ones. Okay. And they get the, they buy the boxes like this of K-Cups and they offer it to their customers.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Love Harbor Cove Dental.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Do you go there?
No.
You ought to go there.
But I know the people.
Everybody, yeah.
And they're great people.
They are awesome people. Have you gone there yet?
No, I go to Dr. Island. How do you say that?
No. Dr. Allen.
Yeah. Toby's good friends with Leif.
Leif and I are good friends.
He's awesome, dude. And they have, so if you have an own music list on your iPod, like they'll play it through their sound system.
That's really
brother
cool.
Brother from the mother, you know what I mean? We're very close friends.
They have, the seats that they have for when you sit in your dentist chair have remote control for massage and heating elements.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
totally
really cool.
Stuff,
so you go to the dentist.
That's cool.
Keep you asleep.
I don't want to stay in a dentist chair that long where I do the massage. I'm in and out as quick as possible. So I go to the bathroom. This is not a place I want to linger. Okay?
I hear you.
Well, you might like this.
If you have to be at one of them, as opposed to the 1950s chair with the drill, you see the Dremel drill going into your mouth. You want to go to this guy? Believe me, he's awesome. We're gonna talk. This is gonna be a little. We're not going to be controversial because we're not taking a stand, but we're going to try to explain the unfortunate circumstances that have unfolded that have brought us to where we are with Pee Wee football in the town.
Right.
So we got a press release from Josie Martell, talking about which side is she on? Saving the old Pee Wee football.
I didn't read what she put actually what she put across.
So what has happened over the past couple of years, if I am correct, and people can feel free to correct me, I'm not taking a side, is that our local Pee Wee football organization, which has gone on for generations, and my family was part of the Tigers. I was a terrible athlete, but some of my favorite memories were playing for the Tiger, even though I got my ass handed to me on a weekly basis. Because I was so frail.
It's well over 50 years. I would like to know the exact number, but it's been well over 50.
So there has been a decline in
numbers,
and there's been
across
the board. There's been some teams that have had very difficult time fielding teams. Now, when we were kids, there was like 20 kids on a team.
Oh, no problem.
You had offense and defense. You didn't have to play both ways. And
plus cheerleaders
for A, B, C, and D teams. Like there was the Chargers, the Magnolia Lions, East Gloucester Vikings, the West End Tigers.
Wow, you're going way back.
Yeah,
Little Earl's Tigers. St. Peter's Tigers when I was on, and now they're Hampton Hill Tigers.
Yeah, Hampton Hill. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just really funny how the names have changed throughout the years.
Right, but so they had this. So this organization that's been forever, but. I'm not sure what the real reasons are for the decline. If it more kids are playing soccer, or if they're...
It could be anything. It could be, you know, parents aren't around. They're working more nowadays, so they can't put their, you know, kids in these sports. So that could be a reason for a decline. Other sports are coming up. Maybe kids want to venture out and do something else. That could be a reason. Some could be coaches. Maybe, you know, some of these coaches, I'm going to tell you right now, some of these coaches are so hardcore, like this is NFL, and some of these kids don't want to play anymore. And we saw that, and I've seen that. You have to understand, I have a son that plays in this league for the past 5 years. Never mind being involved, you know, I cheered, my husband played football, so we've also been involved in this organization our whole lives. So there's so many factors.
So there's that, right?
Yeah.
There's that side of it. Now, outside of Gloucester, most other communities, they play
Pop Warner
football, which is an organization that's been... we're Pee Wee football, inner city, like city neighborhoods playing against each other within Gloucester.
We're probably one of the only cities left that have done that. They're doing that.
Most other cities have gone to this A city team playing Pop Warner, playing against other city teams.
Yeah.
To me... And I don't want to act like I know what the hell's going on, but that seems like there's a smaller concentrated group of kids and they will be traveling to play. And there'll be less kids playing, but it'll be more of the best kids playing on one team. So,
and it's the, I guess, but any, you know, the rules are different. I guess their rules are more like learning the game, whereas, you know, Pee Wee, it's pretty much anyone can coach. Where in the Pop Warner, you have to be certified. I'm not really this great, but, you know, with the certification. So all the coaches are certified in the Pop Warner, as Pee Wee, they're not. So just the learning experience for these kids to actually learn the game properly, not that these coaches are not coaching them properly, some, you know, it goes back and forth. And this is pretty much like, this is part of the controversy of, you know, Pee Wee versus the Pop Warner. You know, why, you know.
Well, I see there's also, so we're just going to throw out things that we've been hearing.
Yeah, in both.
One of the part you hear is, you know, a lot of these kids that play Pee Wee football, they go down to the, they ride their bikes to the field by themselves, and the parents don't have to, you know, drive them into another city to go to the games and stuff like that. So for inner city kids, it was kind of a better fit for them because they could go home, get their gear, and go.
Well, the practices, like say if we went, well, they are doing Pop Warner. They are. I mean, so
it's going to happen.
That's happening. But the whole thing is, you know, the people who want to try to make it not happen, but, you know, teams are folding as of the last couple of weeks, so which is making it pretty much impossible for the Pee Wee organization to stay afloat, obviously.
The community can't support both organizations?
No. No, they can't.
Well, so a choice has to be made.
Exactly.
From what Alicia was saying, that, like, in the past couple of years, there's been some teams that have had a hard time fielding complete teams?
They can't. So, like, we had two B teams had to completely fold last year, and they had to distribute out their kids. So even to play on the B, because my son's on the B team level, they were down to teams. So therefore, they're kind of playing the same people almost, you know, more times than they should, because two teams had to fold under that B team.
And so, and they're not necessarily playing in their neighborhood, right?
No.
Because they have to go beyond
it. Yeah, so as Pop Warner, they would still practice in Gloucester. I guarantee you the practices will be probably longer and more intense. But their games are going to be once a week, every Sunday, sometimes a Saturday. And they would travel out so they can go to Marblehead and then go to Salem. I'm really excited about it because my best friend's son plays for the Pop Warner of Marblehead, and we would play him. Huh. And that's some of the things that some of my best friends moved out to these other cities, and we have kids the exact same age and not going to be able to even play sports, but now they would. I don't know. That's one thing I would
love. So that's one side of it, but there's some people that can't drive or they can't get there. So that's the other side. I'm not saying one side is right or wrong.
Lots of carpooling. And then lots of carpooling, but just, you know, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, but also, on the other hand, I am really upset about the Pee Wee organization because we knew, like you said, we know how awesome it was growing up and the neighborhood teams and such. So
we talked about this earlier. Some of my best memories, even though I was horrible and got my butt kicked, was Pee Wee football because all my cousins played, and all the girl cousins all were cheerleaders, And my aunt was a cheerleader. My sister, you know what I mean? And
it was a Sunday affair, kinda, the whole Sunday.
Totally. And then afterwards, Sunday. You all go to your grandparents' house for coffee afterwards.
Exactly.
You know, that's what
it
you
was
did.
A whole, yeah. Those days are gone.
So we posted Josie Martel's thing from their part of the viewpoint.
Yep.
I don't want people to think that we took a stand on this.
Oh, there's no stand.
What I'd like to say is to the people on the other side of that issue, I'll be happy to post whatever, you know, their flyer happens to be. Just you can send me that. I'm not taking a side. We just posted it because she presented it to us, and I wanted to put it out there for her. Because
it's actually a huge thing in the community right now, and I'm living it, so... Yeah. These meetings are hours on end, hearing both sides, from coaches, from parents, from I don't know, you name
it. I posted the thing from Josie, and then I mentioned it. I was at Felicia's yesterday afternoon, and I mentioned it, and she told me she was that right now on Facebook is like a shit show.
My
like
God, and a lot of people are taking. Thank God, people are starting to take the high road and say, I'm not talking about this on social media, because some of the coaches that are putting themselves out in social media, it's brutal right now. Yeah. So thank God it is starting to die down, and some of these, and obviously most of them are men. Thank God they're taking the high road, because you know how catty men can be, probably worse than women. It's bad. It really is.
Yeah.
Thank God some of them are just taking the high road.
Yeah.
And some of them are just keeping it educational. Some of these discussions are educational. You're like, you know, all these facts flying back and forth about the organization. I mean, it's just great.
Yeah. Well, so. Hopefully whatever it is for the best for the kids. And sometimes there are no easy answers. And I think that's what people like, you know, our conversation earlier between Kim and I, sometimes we just have to agree to disagree and let the chips fall where they may. But so there's that. So, again, let's hope for the best for the kids. I came down the wharf this morning, sadly. Did you see the boat that was sunk next door?
Yes. Yeah.
Really sad.
Yeah, it's very sad.
It looks
destroyed. You know.
Well, I don't know. I can't really see much of it. I didn't even want to go and look.
I'm afraid it's the Kathy Ann. If it is, I know the people that own it. And
there was a boat last summer. There was a boat last summer that the people were willing to give away. There was a floating boat. Good size, what was it, 38 feet. So you could live, you could kind of like rudimentally.
It was their summer cottage. It wasn't a working boat. It was summer cottage for them.
And they were willing, I don't even want to talk about their personal circumstance, but there are boats that people kind of, for one reason or another, are willing to either sell very cheaply or give away. When it comes to the end of the season, and I think a lot has to do with, you know, even if you don't have a boat in the water, or you put it in and take it out and you don't even use it, it's still a costly thing.
Well, hauling out your boat is not an inexpensive proposition.
So you have a boat. So say you have a boat and it's in the water right now. Like every single storm, like just the mental anguish of like, you have your house to worry about, right? And all this other stuff that's going on. Now you have a boat that you have to worry about. So you see why people give away boats every once in a while. You say, wow, it's for free. Well, is it really free when you're like all winter long?
Well, it's not free to own it. You can get them for free.
Right.
Once you own it, now you got to store it or put it in a slip and pay for the rental of that slip. You know, they're expensive.
Yeah, winterize it. I mean, you guys would know.
Well, we left ours at home. We still got one in the water at home. But when we came out, saw everybody lifting their boats out in October, and we were like, wow, that's really early. Because we normally sail right the way through the season at home. And then when the snow arrived and the harbour froze over, it was unbelievable.
Why they take their boats out.
Why do they shrink wrap their boats?
Yeah.
Okay. You folks have an appointment at 11 o'clock?
Yes, we do.
So you probably should think about... Yeah.
You don't have to. If you need to leave, you don't have to. We don't have to stop everything for you.
Okay.
But feel free to stay.
We love the podcast. We love Gloucester as well, and it's
well cricket. Clark Snow is an old Gloucester fisherman. He fished out of here for a long time. So,
fabulous.
I see he and his wife on a regular basis.
Yeah. I'll let him know who got it. I'll do him an Amazon review when I finish reading.
Oh, very nice. Thanks for coming by. Thanks for being part of the podcast.
That's been great. Thanks very much.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, pleasure.
Take care.
Nice to meet you. Be well.
Thank you. The book gets better soon.
Thank you. Thanks. Take care, guys.
Bye.
We'll see you this summer in Boston.
Yeah, stop back in.
See you soon.
We will.
Thanks for the book.
You're welcome. There you go, Clark Snow's book. Another happy podcast subscriber winner. This coming Thursday, Passports Wine Dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm excited about that.
Well, do you know what? Do they have a certain theme for this one?
You know what? I'm sorry, I don't know. I just got in. My son told Nicole that I wanted to go, so Nicole emailed and said, do you want to come? And I said, yes, we'd love to come. It didn't matter what it was. We had such a great time the last time. But
it's my understanding that Sally and Eric, with their wine distributors, they chose certain wines that they're putting on their wine list coming up.
Oh, exactly.
And so they're having this dinner to
showcase the new
wines.
Okay. Now, so it won't be all in one vein then. It's going
to
be kind of.
It's not like a Spanish wine dinner or something. No. The point being is that they chose certain wines and now they want to showcase these wines.
Okay.
And so the people who will be going to the wine dinner will be getting a chance to taste and have appropriately accompanying foods for some wines that are going to be on the wine list coming up.
Do we get to rate them?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, we definitely will. But next week, make sure you take notes.
Okay.
And take notes of the ones that you actually like.
Okay.
If it's not too much trouble. If you can remember. Because if you were to ask me this question, I would never remember and it would go.
Well, yeah. I had a little experience doing that at Saber. So if I take a picture and I make sure I get the label, then I can. It makes it easier when I go back to write something about it. So
speaking of Saber. Mm-hmm. On Tuesday, we're having the Businesswoman Wine Down at Saver from 5 to 7. It's the Cape Ann Chamber Businesswoman Committee. So it's $25 a ticket for local businesswomen. Come down. It's one of the great. I love the Businesswoman Committee networking with everyone
around Cape Ann.
Unlike the Caddy
Men's.
Seriously. Really? but that's from 5 to 7 on Tuesday. And actually, you can go out of Cape Ann Chamber online and get your ticket. And I'm really excited to go to Saver.
Who are some of the women that are on that committee with you?
So we have Ruth Pino. She's one of the chair. And Paula Curley is one of the chair. And then we have some people from the banks. A lot of women come from the banks. I would really like to see more business owners as women a part of this committee. So some of the proceeds on Tuesday go to the Carolyn O'Connor Scholarship, which is we were able to give out two 1250 scholarships to women that are going back to college last year instead of just originally it was one, but sometimes these fundraisers.
That's so phenomenal. That's terrific.
Some years are better scholarship fundraising others, and some years we can give out multiple, and so it's great.
You also wanted to speak about the thing with Mark McDonough.
Yeah, so this is awesome. So if you don't know, everyone should know that Cape Ann has a license plate, and the Cape Ann Chamber, a couple summers ago, they voted on who is the best, artwork of it, and so anyway, it's on its way. So before the DMV will print anything, we have to get to 1,500 registered plates. So you pay when we get to that 1,500. It's a $60 transfer fee once we get to 1,500. So what Mark McDonough from Serenity Group is doing is when you fill out your application, you get this kind of travel card, which is really cool. It's a free appetizer in all of the Serenity restaurant groups. So when
some
you
of the
go to
are Alchemy, Lat 43, Minglewood,
Maggie's Farm. Opus, 15 Walnut, Callis,
Opus,
yeah. I mean, it's pretty much a $100 value. So that's pretty amazing. So when you go and you register for, and again, you can go on the Cape Ann Chamber.
You get $100
worth
savings
for
spending $60.
Exactly, it's a no-brainer. I also shared that to the Good Morning Gloucester Facebook page. So I actually shared from.
So it'll be there if
so. So it's there. So if so, exactly. So I know. But yeah. So if you go on to the Good Morning Gloucester Facebook page, which by the way, I know you probably don't know, has a lot of followers, Joey, and it's great that awesome. You know. So just to let you know, just to give you that lowdown.
Well, you could. Could you also put a post on the blog about it to link to the Facebook?
We've done a bunch of them, yeah, but okay. I mean, if you want to write another one, submit it to me. I'll be happy to post it for you.
Okay. So, yeah. So anyway, so that's great. So you can also go to these Restaurant Serenity Group, and all of the Serenity Groups are in the Dinner Dealer deck. So not only can you go get a free appetizer, and you can get, you know, $10 off your $30 if you go to Minglewood or something like that. So savings all the way around. It's a win-win-win-win-win for pretty much everybody.
And some and when you also when you buy one of these license plates, there also some money goes towards
each community. So the money is going back to Rockport, Manchester, Gloucester, and Essex. Mm-hmm. So this initiative with the license plate is amazing.
Mm-hmm. I think it is a awesome gift idea for people. I think
it's really cool.
I think
right?
It's one of the easiest gift ideas.
Yeah,
and one that will last for years and years and years. So you can go there, and for a little extra money, you can get one of these plates, and then you can make it semi-vanity with certain numbers. You can put your anniversary date on there or whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And it's like $100, and a lot of people spend $100 on an anniversary.
No, it's 60.
Yeah, but if you want, I think it might be a little.
So it's like a 40, and then it's a 20, and then there's the 40 for the plate, and then a $20 fee to, what's it called?
Transfer
fee. So it's only 60.
So, but you can get.
But then to custom, what do you
think? Customize.
Oh, if you want to customize, that might be more.
Which I think is cool.
Of course, yeah.
It's really good. I mean, every time you look at your license plate, you look back on that time when that person bought it.
It's going to be really cool because this is going. We are going to get there. We are going to get to the 1500, and it's going to be awesome. You know, Cape Cod did it, and they have it's just awesome. I just love it.
I love your new president, Catherine Schlichty.
Yes, I call him Madam President every time.
President.
She's great.
She is awesome. She's very cool. Very cool. All right. Anybody have any dining experiences this week they want to share?
You mean since Friday?
Since Friday. I know.
I would like to talk about one. So I know that he's been on the blog quite a bit, but Joe from Mile Marker. Mm. And so
I was going to bring up Mile Marker.
Yeah, so Chris and I, when one of the last snow bouts, just two weeks ago on Sunday, we went during the day, and 1,000,001 kids in the pool, but that's okay. We still had a great time, and we ate. And he said the steak tips were top
in the city. That's what you texted me.
Yeah.
Right
top in the city. Right while we're eating, you know what? I was so sad I didn't get a picture of it while he was eating them, because I don't really think. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't get a picture. But he was absolutely amazed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have to go to get them.
He's had them in every restaurant in Gloucester. He has had the steak tips. That is his thing.
That's his point of reference.
He is a steak tip aficionado. Aficionado, yeah. Yep.
And he's
everything.
That's all about it.
Yep. Every single one.
Yeah, well, there you go. Based on that, right when you texted me that, right after you had your meal, you said Chris said these are the best steak tips he's had, and he's had every steak tip in every place in the city.
Wow, that's pressure.
He said that, and it's been a mission of mine to go back, to go there and get and order them. They have great food by the pool. Nicole did a great job saying for February vacation, this is a no-brainer.
Yeah,
go there with your kids.
Yeah.
You can have beer and food by the pool while your kids romp around.
Yeah, see, my kids are at the age where I don't have to do that. So when I go and there's all the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, it's kind of annoying for me. But, you know, but for someone like Nicole, it's perfect, no-brainer. You know, all the parents, it's awesome. So kudos to them.
Yeah. Mile Marker, and we have so many great places.
Oh, and I used my Dinner Dealer while I was there. It's 5 off of 20.
Oh, they have Dinner Dealer
there
too?
Yeah, they do. They joined this year, so it was awesome. And I almost forgot about it. I'm like, oh my God, I can get my 5 off of 20. It's great. It's awesome.
I messed up. Toby and I were at Cape Ann Brewing the other day, and I didn't use my Dinner Dealer deck there just because I forgot about it, and I was so upset. It's like, that's money I threw out the window just then.
Last Dodgeball, all of us went to Cape Ann Brew after Dodgeball, and I used actually my Dinner Dealer last time. It was awesome. 20 off 50.
Boom.
It's great.
Duckworth.
Awesome.
That is a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great places down there.
Well, we'll have to go again, Joe.
Well, yeah, we're just going to have to go again. Oh, terrible. Terrible, terrible. Oh, there we go. We got another Gloucester Cast in the books, people. It's we're back on our Sunday schedule. I like it a lot. I like it a whole lot. I'm going to try and get another midweek one if you guys can make it. And we should mention our Debbie Clement that came here with her husband, that she took his last name, which is very cool.
Right?
Oh, God.
What a great story. That.
Love that story. Yeah. Good.
I didn't say it.
That's not how my whole thing went down.
They were funny.
You know.
Oh, yeah.
Mine's legally DeWolf. Because he guilted me into it. So.
All right, people. GloucesterCast 119 in the books.